Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. I'm always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we love this season, right? But it can also stir up some kinds of family conflict, you know, stuff that you'd maybe rather avoid. So how do we navigate the holidays wisely and not in an avoidant way or an overly self-protective way, but really in a humble, wise, confident, open-hearted way? Is that even possible? Well, my precious friends, Dr. Greg and soon-to-be Dr. Aaron Smalley join me today to talk about navigating family relationships during the holidays. We're also going to draw from their amazing book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, How Healthy Conflict Can Take You to Deeper Levels of Intimacy. I already promise you this. We're going to have fun. We're going to laugh our heads off. And we're also, you're going to have so much great, rich takeaway because these two are that way. And some of you know, if you've been listening for a long time, years ago, I had a show called Live the Promise, and it aired in the afternoon for 2 hours. And Aaron and Greg joined me every month. And we're hoping and praying. They're very busy, but we're hoping and praying we can get them back in the rotation. Quick announcement before we hear from them. You can experience the Christmas story this year in a new way with Dr. David Jeremiah's film, Why the Nativity. You can learn details of the people, the events, and why God chose them and wrote that story the way He did. It's free for you to watch and share from our website at myfaithradio.com. Now let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Aaron Smalley serves as spokesperson and content creator for Focus on the Family's marriage ministry. She maintains her own counseling practice, specializes in working with married couples, and she's the author of 6 books. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as vice president of marriage at Focus on the Family, author of 20 books. His dream is to someday drive a Ford 150 Raptor. I need to Google that because I'm not sure what that is. After overcoming struggles early in their own marriage, Aaron and Greg knew they wanted to be hands-on in helping other couples together, they've led marriage seminars around the world. Married since 1992, Greg and Aaron live in Colorado with their 4 children, and we got the band back together. This is the one time I'll have you talk at the same time. Welcome back, you guys.
Woohoo! We're so excited to be with you, Suzy.
Oh, I'm just so excited.
It's been so long.
Yes. You know what's happened since you've been gone, Greg? We've grown exponentially. And it's not that you've been gone and that's why we've grown. But would you believe our live show, once it goes to podcast, is now in 170 countries?
Wow. No way.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
God's been so good. And I'm just thinking if you guys come back in rotation, you know, how much greater it will be. So, but we are, it is amazing how our listenership has grown and we've got people all over the world and you guys travel all over the world. So it's a marriage made in heaven. I'm just saying. So, you know, this first question I ask, and so here it comes, and Aaron, I'll go to you first, but what's God been impressing upon your heart these days?
Well, when I knew we were going to be on with you, I was like, what verse would sum it up as far as what God has been showing me? And I think I may have even used this verse before on your show, Suzy, years ago. But 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And what I have been seeing, both within my private practice, as well as just in life, that there is a lot of stuff going on. I looked at my colleague the other day and said, we're not living a Hallmark movie. And, you know, the couples that are coming in are struggling and it seems like divorce is up. And I just keep thinking, gosh, God uses all of this pain, these trials to strengthen us and to grow us up. And I know He does that in my own life. And I know He does that in others' lives. And so often we want to give up and then we miss the blessing. We miss the growth. We miss the maturing that happens as a result of the trial. And so for me, I'm just, I want to scream it from the mountaintop. Don't give up. Look to the other side of the trial of what is God doing in your life. What if that trial is the exact thing that God is going to use to take you to that next level?
I love that. And I love that you connected that to the verse that you referenced, Aaron, because it implies maturity and growth. And there's, you know, I always say, you know, a baby Christian is adorable, an immature Christian, not so much. And yet so often folks might stay immature, but it's those very trials that can actually grow and mature your faith. So you're not any longer thinking like a child. You're actually processing from a mature, discerning point of view. And then you got a story to tell and you got some credibility because you've survived, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The stories, our stories, our testimonies are what we root each other on. Mm-hmm. Like just being honest and authentic about what we've been through. I mean, that's really, Greg and I stand on a stage all the time talking about the challenges we've had in marriage and what we've learned as a result of it. That's what our ministry is based on.
So good. Greg, how about you? What's God been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, that was the exact verse that I was going to read. So.
Well,
I've got nothing now. I love 1 Peter 5:10. And this is a verse that I read here over the summer at our oldest daughter Taylor's at her wedding rehearsal dinner. Just as an encouragement to her of what God had done over the past 3 years in her life on her third wedding anniversary. She thought she was going to celebrate, and her husband and said, now ex-husband, told her he wanted a divorce.
On her anniversary?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that part of the story. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Wow.
And so just as we walked with her through all that pain, that heartache, that darkness, just that horrible season, I just feel like 1 Peter 5:10 sums up exactly what I saw God do in her life and in our family's life, in my own life. And so it says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
Wow.
And it's just that promise that we see over and over and over again throughout the scriptures that, you know, as Christians, when our faith is in God, when our relationship is pursuing Christ and becoming more like him, you know, that as we go through these really hard, dark, horrible seasons, you know, any tough season, that he's going to use that to grow us. And I love at the end of that verse, and it says that will establish you.
Yeah.
Well, if you dig into that word establish, it means to cause, to grow and mature. And so basically what God is saying is that, hey, when you go through, you know, like talking to our daughter, Taylor, when you go through these hard times, that God's not only going to restore, confirm, and strengthen you, but he's going to grow you, mature you. And that's exactly, Susie, what Aaron and I saw just, you know, throughout that time, just walking with her. I mean, we saw her growth. You know, that was hard on, you know, hard is such an
understated way to say it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal for us. I mean, Satan really used that. I know for me, it attacked my brain going, man, why are you doing marriage ministry? You can't even help your own daughter. It was that kind of spiritual warfare, that kind of grief, sadness,
I'm so
depression,
sorry.
Just all of that. But, you know, I know that God used that in my life and in Aaron's life just to reaffirm what we're doing. And we have a renewed passion around helping couples, especially younger couples in crisis. And so God has definitely grown us through that. He's matured us, matured our marriage, matured us as believers. So it's just a great reminder, because I know some of you right now are you're in that dark season for whatever reason. And it's just that comfort that God's going to use every bit of that to grow and mature you. And that's the hope and security that we have in Christ.
That's just was phenomenal, Greg. I know, friends, if you needed to hear that, text me an amen, because I think there's so many, I hear every day on this text line, so many people suffering, so many, and from rejection and from somebody making the choice to cut off the relationship. You hear about it all of the time. And, you know, it's so like the enemy to get as much collateral damage out of that story as he can. But when someone in their own right is locked down and making their decision. I mean, it's like the best counselors in the world can't get to them if they are just turning their back on any kind of help, you know. But you can sure see how the enemy worked. I got to ask, was it scary for her to love again? And I'm asking that because, again, I know there's friends listening who are on the other side of a spouse leaving while they're putting the pieces back together, trying to decide, is there any hope for me, any hope for my future? Did that take her? I mean, imagine that it took her a little bit to dare to hope for a future again.
Yeah, Susie, for sure. And I don't think it was a, okay, now I'm just going to open my heart back up and love again. I know that in her time with the Lord, in her prayer time, and just that crying out to God through all that pain and heartache and confusion and disappointment, that you know, she wrestled through that with the Lord. She just felt such a peace that you know what, He has the right person in store for her, and that's something that she desires, and that He's faithful in that way. And so I know that it took her a while for her heart to really begin to heal. You know, I've never asked this to her, but my guess would be that, you know, that trauma, that, you know, that sort of experience to where you're so massively let down by someone, and that trust is broken, you know, that's a lifelong pursuit. And I know, mm-hmm. you know, with her husband, Jen, who they got married in August, he's an amazing young man. Just, we love him. Just his love for the Lord is just amazing. And I know that's going to be a process that they go through, just to, you know, how do we really, you know, put our trust and faith in really open? How do we be vulnerable with someone when we've been hurt at that level? Man, that'd be a great show. I mean, right?
Yeah.
We could
right.
do an entire show. Yeah. Just talk about, you know, I think so many people walk into their marriages with hearts already locked up behind these big yep. walls because mm-hmm. the fear of being vulnerable, of really being seen and deeply known, is such a scary thing. And so I know that's going to be an ongoing battle for Taylor, like it is for all of us. But I'm what I love is her dad is just her trust in God, her willingness to step out in faith and open herself up to someone who's human that can hurt her again, you know, and just going, hey, I've learned how to better take care of my heart and how to deal with these hard emotions. And I'm just going to open up and let's walk together and just trust that we'll keep developing that trust and safety and security that we all long for.
Wow. Erin, what was that like for you?
Oh gosh, it was a very hard, dark place because this all happened right when COVID hit. And so it was a really, really dark time. Watching your child hurt at that level, as well as we were hurting too, because we loved her ex-husband and we were as shocked as she was when everything transpired. But it was amazing to watch her heal. And I just begged her, please go in and talk to someone. And she did. And she had such amazing progress as she humbly went before the Lord and met with a counselor, and she just healed. I will say, as Greg was talking, I was smiling because I knew she was healing so much when she had been dating Jen for about a year. It was actually, I guess it was last Christmas, and she thought he was going to propose at Christmas. And it was after Christmas and he had not proposed. And I guess they got into a fight about, aren't you going to propose? Hadn't we talked about this? And he basically said, I'm not 100% sure, so I'm not going to. And I remember going, uh-oh, this is possible rejection. And I will never forget, we went on a walk and I was like, how are you? And she said, Mom, I want to marry him and I will wait until he's ready. And for me, I said, you know what, in the face of possible rejection, again, here you are and you're standing firm going, no, I want to marry this man. And if, and she even said, if he doesn't want to marry me, that's okay. I want him to know I want to marry him. And then he proposed, I think it was like a month and a half later, as he worked his way through some questioning and just, he wanted an absolute yes from God. And they got married last August. And so it's been an amazing journey. It's been a difficult one. It gives me a whole new tenderness for those who have walked through divorce, because I had no idea, Susie, how devastating. I had heard that divorce was worse than death and than losing someone to death. And now I go, wow, I cannot imagine, you know, what people walk through now. When I sit with someone who has been through divorce, I just have the deep empathy and tenderness towards them.
We've talked about that on the show as we're getting ready to go to break here, but we've talked about how the different kinds of grief, especially grief the holiday season, but some have said who've walked through both that losing someone you love who loved you back, of course, is a devastating kind of pain, but losing someone who's alive and has just purely rejected you is the worst kind of pain. Yeah. And it just is, because it's like, I'm still alive and I could choose you and I'm opting not to. And that's its own kind of grief. And so we're remembering you this season, friend, if you are putting your life back together, asking the Lord to help you do that. And your best days are not behind you. Do believe that. So when we come back, let's talk about the holidays and some of the most common family conflicts that arise in this season. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley today from Focus on the Family. And I'll be pulling a few quotes out of their book. Excellent book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. It's got boxing gloves on the front. So good. How healthy conflict can take you to deeper levels of intimacy. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, I learned a valuable lesson while walking through one of the deep valleys of the shadow in my life. Our hearts can't live without hope, and we have reason for hope because Jesus is with us in every season of life. Using the word HOPE as an acronym, I want to remind you of four very important truths when it comes to hope. That God is a healer. One way or another, He will heal and redeem your story. O is you are meant to overcome. P is you have a purpose and a calling. And E, God wants you to live with eternity in mind. If you're struggling to make it to the next moment, text the word HOPE to get a fresh dose of hope. We are here to help you and walk with you through this journey. You can text 877-933-2484. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to my friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. They're with Focus on the Family, but they're also very precious friends and written a bunch of books. And we're talking today about how to navigate family conflict around the holidays. Also, we'll talk a little bit about marriage in a little bit, drawing from their book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. But let's start with the holidays. I'll start with you, Aaron, but love for both of you to answer this. What are some of the most common family conflicts that arise in this season?
Well, I have been seeing and talking to many, many clients as of late. It's interesting, right around the holidays, people start coming in and wanting to talk about family dynamics and, you know, challenges in their marriage and how do we do this well. It especially seems to be when people are traveling to their family of origin and traveling for the holidays. You know, this is going to be a fun trip, but gosh, if we stay in their house and with the whole family, our whole family, their whole family, the whole family, it could get chaotic. So how do we do this? And so we've been navigating, you know, do we stay in their house? Do we get a hotel? Do the parents get them a hotel? So it's definitely a challenge when we reengage with our family of origin, because so often the roles we played begin showing up, or we step right back into that 15-year-old self. And often our spouses, even, I know with Greg and I, so often when we would engage with family of origin, Greg would be like, who did you just become? What just happened? I was driving here with Erin in her 50s, but now I'm not sure how old Erin is. So it does create some challenges. And I just encourage couples especially to talk about it beforehand, because they can support each other as they navigate that dynamic.
What about you, Greg?
Yeah, I think some of the big conflicts that I've noticed is that you get the rude comments, oh, hey, you're not getting any younger, or, you know, why aren't you dating anybody yet? Or, you've put on a few pounds. I remember, you know, walking into a family gathering and an uncle, you know, we all have that crazy uncle, and he just walks up to me and kind of pats my belly.
Oh my goodness. You're kidding me. Says,
man, looks like Aaron's a great cook. What do you say to that? Yeah. And it is, you know, so I think rude comments from people, especially family, can easily trigger us. You know, I think clashing personalities, you know, you've got the Mr. Negativity, who's just everything that this person is saying is just so negative, and they're always griping and complaining. You know, I have a sibling who anytime that we're together just has to run through all the television news programs and you know, it shows that he's watched. And so he's always got these, you know, opinions on politics and what's going on in our country and how to fix it. And so you just, it's easy to walk into that. You know, you've got the know-it-all, you know, who just every time you try to say what's been going on, they can either one-up you or they've got the right answer. I mean, Aaron and I have, you know, some nieces and nephews. And so I won't tell you who or is it a niece or a nephew, but this person, it's like everything we say, like, we'll just be talking about our jobs. I mean, you know, Aaron and I have been in marriage ministry for over 30 years. We've been married for 31 years.
Got a little
years.
Bit of street cred. Come on.
Yeah. And so right? We'll just be talking about stuff maybe that Aaron's been hearing and counseling from her client or whatever. And we'll have this very young relative who just starts to tell us, like, well, you should do this, and have you tried that? And we're just going, oh my gosh, you know, wow, okay, I would have thought of that. So, you know, it's just it's just that stuff. You've got, you know, you've got old arguments, you know, you've got old hurts and wounds that have been there that can easily just get, it's like those. You know, scars that we have that just can so easily be scratched and picked at. And so it just, you know, we just have to remember that it just, you know, that happens in just the goal is to try to figure this out. And how do we, you know, how do we not, you know, get sucked into that kind of stuff? So that's the stuff, you know, that's the stuff that creates that conflict.
You know, I think about, there are times when a relationship is so toxic, you do need healthy boundaries. But there's lots of times, I would assume and imagine, as I hear and interview people, that there's this avoidant approach where it's just easier to not be connected. And I don't imagine that that's God's best choice, because he's in the middle of the mess, it seems. So maybe strike a balance for us. How do you know when a relationship is toxic that you're actually well within wisdom to say, this is just bad for me, and when it's really you're being so triggered and it's like you're blaming them, but you need help to heal, you know? And that's probably a second scenario. And the third scenario would be, this is hard, but you can do hard. So remember who you are, you know, give some grace. You know what I'm saying? That there's a way to navigate it without avoiding it. And Aaron, I'll start with you. That's kind of a conglomeration of questions, but however you want to speak to it.
Yeah. And it is just so common that we will have those challenges within family dynamics. And, you know, it's going, how can I show up and be an instrument of peace and really love others well? Sometimes, like you're saying, it is easier to love somebody from a distance. Because when we're right in the center of it, it, you know, triggers so much. But it's being aware of what typically happens when I show up in this situation with these people or this person, so I can predict what's going to happen. How do I feel when I'm there? And it's being aware of, you know, this is typically what gets triggered. Now, I will say, if there's a consistent pattern of poor behavior that has been addressed, that you've made a request, please don't do that, please don't talk to me like that, please don't shame me like that. Whatever it is, consistent pattern that does not change, that's when I say start putting those boundaries in place. It might be some firmer boundaries that I'm not able to come to this gathering this year, or I'm not able to engage the way I usually have. And sometimes the person is healthy enough to understand why, and other times they're not, and they're not capable of that conversation. So lots of prayer. I would say get counsel and connect with, you know, godly friends or a mentor or a pastor, counselor, whoever can help you walk, walk that out.
Well, Greg, what do you say?
Yeah, I love what Aaron is saying. And I think about for those moments, you know, for me, when I get sucked into those, you know, those battles or whatever, debates with family members, or something's just not going right when we're all together. I think like Aaron was saying, it's so important that we notice our expectations. I think it's so good just to as we're traveling to see family, to think about what is it that I'm hoping for during this vision? You know, this visit, what am I hoping, expecting will take place? Because I think for a lot of us that we package our expectations of these get-togethers with our family, we sort of count on these moments to compensate for the rest of the year, or to make up maybe for something that has been missing for quite some time. There are plenty of people going to see family this year that there's been conflict, there's been distance, there's been maybe no contact. And so you think about all these elevated, you know, expectations. I remember one time going on a family vacation with Aaron and our four kids, and I was so excited. We were actually going to go speak at a family camp over a holiday, and we had just been disconnected, but been so busy, and so that I just could not wait for all of us to get together, and the memories that we were going to build, and just the fun that we were going to have. And I just couldn't wait. And so that first morning after we, you know, get up in our little cabin, we all head to breakfast, and two of our kids, as we're sitting down for breakfast, get into this huge argument and fight, to the point that one of our daughters, Murphy, she's so mad that she just gets up and screams out in this big breakfast area. That remember, we're the speakers. Oh. So she yells out, "I hate this family and I'm leaving." And so she marches out. Well, man, rounded up the family. We found Murphy. I sat them all down in a little cabin, and I just lit into our family, and I lectured them. I told them we were going to have fun. We weren't going to be fighting, and then we were going to build awesome memories. And then I just swarmed out of this little cabin and kind of walked down by where the water was. And, you know, Aaron came, you know, to find me, and she's like, "Whoa, hey, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Well, first of all, your children are terrible." in the more we talked, you know, Aaron is so amazingly wise, and she's like, "Might be what's going on right now part of your expectation. Tell me, what were you hoping for?"
Oh, that's so
good. And the more we talked, the more I realized that I had felt so disconnected, that I was counting on this time to make up for all that missed time.
Wow. That is together. So good. Wow. One of the things I love about you guys' ministry is how you're so able to tell these, they're often hilarious stories in hindsight, but really they're so such teachable moments for the rest of us. So managing our expectations and the idea that there's an accumulated kind of pile of things. If we're not dealing with our hearts and our hurts all year long, they do pile up. And then we have an expectation that somehow, like you said at the beginning, Aaron, we're going to have a Hallmark Christmas. And just those are people with scripts that they go home from their work and face their messy lives too. And so when we come back, let's talk about what can we do during the year to get healthier. Because I remember years ago when I used to have you guys on the show every month, you talked several times about you can't control the other person, but you can serve the ball differently. Like if you're doing the same thing and expecting different results, that's insanity. That's crazy. But you can learn different ways to serve the ball, which requires a different response from them. And so what if we What if we worked on ourselves all year long? What if we noticed our buttons that are always so pushable and we just worked towards healing? And this is why I'm a major proponent of counseling, of spiritual direction, of life coaching. I just think we all need it at lots of different times in our lives. So talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, and when we come back, we'll talk more about what we can do all year long so that we can show up in these seasons a little more healthy this year than we were last year, a little more healthy next year than we are this year. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my very precious friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family, talking about how to navigate the holidays with expectations that are realistic. You know, I often say that God's promises don't apply to our unrealistic expectations, but they do apply to our impossible situations. And those are two very different things. And Greg made such a good point before the break that if we're not working on anything all year long, you get this accumulation of hurts and distance and all kinds of things with these family relationships. And then you get this, you know, hope that you're going to have a Hallmark Christmas. You may be disappointed. And I often say in the physical realm of healing that we do everything we can to pursue healing and then we pray for a miracle. What if we did that in our relationships? Pursue healing and then ask God to do what only He can do. And so I would love to know from both of you, what are some things that we could do all year long to pursue healing, to get well, to get healthier, and even to stay connected in some way that's God ordained and wise, so that when Christmas comes even next year, we're in a different place. And I'm not even saying we don't have expectations for this year, but just to be maybe discerning about where things really are at. But what do you say, Aaron?
I would say, I mean, as far as individually really getting healthier emotionally, I would say spend the year, even the next year, becoming aware of when I'm in these situations. I kind of said this earlier, what is getting triggered? Mm-hmm. And when I get triggered, what do I notice in my body? What do I want to do? How do I react to that? And thus, as I'm going through the year, becoming really attuned to that, and then choosing what I do. I can choose my behavior. I can choose how I respond to a difficult situation. Because if we practice that all year long, then gosh, when the holidays come around and we feel those same things, we have more training as far as controlling our behavior, because we can't control what anyone else is going to do in the room. We can anticipate it. And we can also train ourselves to be very aware of what we do and what we feel when that stuff goes on.
Hmm. And Greg, you know, I'd love for you to add to that just what we can do during the year. But I was thinking as well, I think sometimes we have an expectation that we should be equally as intimate and close with every single family member. But just like with friends, you've got different levels of intimacy that are just kind of seeming God ordained. And there are even levels of intimacy with friendships that are in season. And so what would be a realistic expectation around intimacy with family members? And then what are some great ways to really cultivate health during the year?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly, Suzy, that it says that we're to honor, you know, our mother and father. I think that we always want to respect our family. I think love means that we keep our hearts open. Mm. And I think that's the right way to think about what level of connection. I can always love and respect and honor you, but it doesn't mean that I even have to be around you. Because Suzy, what Aaron and I believe is that, you know, throughout the year, in addition to what Aaron was talking about, and just learning how to care for your heart and deal with those tough emotions, those wounds, I think learning and practicing how to be good at setting boundaries is such a loving thing. A godly boundary means that I'm putting something in place within this relationship so that I can keep my heart open to this person. So for example, I mean, even if something as simple as, you know what, I have an allergy to certain animals, and Uncle Frank or Aunt Betsy always brings, you know, that exact animal. And then I just have to sort of suffer and deal with that versus going, hey, for this year, I can't be there if you know they're going to have
the llama is going to be there. I'm sorry.
That or the platypus. I'm very allergic to platypuses. But you know, it's thinking about, you know, maybe a boundary is I'm just not going to stay at the, you know, at the house with everybody. We're going to, you know, get a hotel room. Or, and again, people see boundaries often in such a negative way, when healthy boundaries mean I'm recognizing what happens that shuts me down. And so I'm saying, I'm not willing to do this, or I'm going to put a boundary around this particular topic or time together, whatever it is, so that I can stay open. And that is a learned skill. That's something that we can really get good at practicing throughout the year. So do that this year. Practice setting good boundaries to keep your heart open, so that the next family gathering that you've had some practice, and you can do that successfully and have a more enjoyable and healthier time with family.
You know, never forgot you said that. I've quoted you many times, many years ago, when you talked about boundaries coupled with right communication. Because otherwise, if you're just establishing boundaries and never communicating, this is so I can keep my heart open, it really just becomes abandonment for the other person. And there are so many times where boundaries are wielded as an excuse to not have to deal with stuff. And it's so painful for the other person. That's so different than saying, I'm establishing this because I love you and I want a healthy relationship with you. So this isn't rejection. This isn't abandonment. This is my way of managing things so I can be okay and show up in this relationship, you know, in the best way possible. You know, I never had heard anybody ever say it like that. And I think the healthy boundaries are important, but I, over the years, have seen people wield them in a very painful way. So I love that. Again, I've quoted you multiple times, Greg. I think that coupled with communication is super important, don't you think?
I agree. And that's, and what you're saying is don't weaponize boundaries.
Yeah.
Because again, a godly boundary is what you're saying is that I want to stay open and let God love through me or do whatever he wants to do in this relationship. But if I weaponize it, if I use it as a weapon, then that is certainly not a godly boundary at all. And by the way, I'm pretty sure it was Aaron that said all that. So probably give her that credit.
I actually have good memory, and you did say it, but you both say really, really great things. So I also remember, Greg, the story of you were getting ready to speak at a Christmas thing. I think it was for Focus, but it was somewhere in Colorado Springs, and you were pulled over by the police officer. But we can talk about that another time if you want to. That was one of my favorite stories.
Oh, I
have no memory of that.
Yeah, you probably blocked it out. It was hilarious. Because the guy looked at your license and he said, hey, wait, I'm taking my daughter to that thing tonight. I'll see you there. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, after the accident that I got into where I knocked some woman's bumper off.
Yeah, in the school parking lot.
That's right. And we were exchanging information and she noticed my last name going, hey, I think my husband's taking my daughter to something you're speaking at. So, yes, that was
hilarious. Yeah.
I'm going to set a boundary not talk about the bad things I've done.
Got it. I had to get that one in there, but all right. Well, let's talk marriage for a minute. Aaron, how can the holidays put undue stress on the marriage?
It is amazing to me the stress that the holidays do put on marriage because of, you know, past wounds, past bad experiences. You know, maybe there was conflict after coming home from a family gathering. Maybe it's financial stress. Maybe we're not agreeing on, you know, how much we're spending on gifts. So there's just all kinds of opportunities for conflict. And I just see that over and over again. And of course, Greg and I have experienced that too over the years. And it just is, it's so important to remind each other, hey, remember, we're on the same team here. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm not going anywhere. I really want to understand what's going on for you. Let's engage around this in a way that feels safe. And let's figure out something, whatever the situation is, that works for both of us, because we both matter. And so whether that is, you know, if you're not being successful having those conversations one-on-one, then, you know, bring someone else, bring a mentor couple into the mix, or, you know, go to counseling. I know I always get numerous inquiries for marital counseling right before the holidays. And of course, sometimes therapists are full right before the holidays because of that. But, you know, reach out, or, you know, a pastor. Just, it's going, we aren't being successful having this conversation. Can you help us? And there's such a power of having that third neutral party sitting there. But if not, try it. And again, be aware of what gets triggered within you. And if you do get triggered, you know, call a timeout, step away for a moment, you care for you, then come back and try again. And, you know, it's so good to be united as you venture into the holiday season, especially when you're engaging with family of origin.
Greg, talk about, just got a couple minutes before this break, but the different ways men and women approach conflict.
Yeah, I think it for me, I think a lot of men feel so overwhelmed by conflict that it's easy to try to avoid that, to minimize it, marginalize how our wife feels. Just, you know, we want peace and harmony. Not that she doesn't want that either. But it's just, it's always been easy for me to go, I don't want to rock the boat, and let me just ignore this thing. And so, you know, oftentimes our wife, you know, like for Aaron, will have a better sense of, you know, that we're not in harmony. We've got to work through something. And so to at least be open to talking to maybe repair something that's happened. But I think just for a lot of guys, we just get quickly overwhelmed by the thought of conflict and maybe avoid it or try to shut it down.
Was it your dad or one of your mentors who'd said something about the wife being the best marriage manual you can read? I mean, to really start to trust her input and influence.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I know my dad used to say that to me all the time about Aaron. So it was it's very frustrating.
Very good word. Brilliant.
He was a very wise man.
Wise man. Very
so,
wise man.
You know, he saw that Aaron had a lot of insight.
Wasn't that wise of him, Greg? I mean, that was so wise. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, because it was at a time when you released this book that there were so many marriage books out. And this, to me, cut across those. This was such a different idea. And I want to know from your own story, as much as you guys are willing, to talk about how conflict brought intimacy in your marriage. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, their book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, How Healthy Conflict Can Take You to Deeper Levels of Intimacy. We'll be back in a minute. If you listen to me often enough, you know I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. I am passionate about prayer, and we all need it, and we would love to pray for you. The Faith Radio team, we're serious about prayer, and we pray for specific listener requests every single week. So if you have a request, if you're walking through a difficult time, you can share your prayer request with us anonymously and securely on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, having a really great conversation with our friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. They work at Focus on the Family. Greg's a VP. They both create content, travel the world to strengthen marriages all over the world, written a bunch of books. And for a few minutes here, we're going to draw from their book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, How Healthy Conflict Can Take You to Deeper Levels of Intimacy. And Greg, I'll start with you, but my question was that just from your own story, when this idea came, I mean, how conflict truly led you to greater levels of intimacy with Aaron?
Well, it really did, because, you know, there, like James 1:2 talks about when we go through hard times that we're going to gain something, that it produces something like joy in when we walk through conflict in a healthy way. I promise, I guarantee it. I've learned this now. I trust this, that we're going to learn something about ourselves or our spouse or our marriage. And so for me, as a classic conflict avoider, I think one of the best things that has helped me lately, really to understand conflict and what do we do about it, is to think about it in terms of, let's repair you know, these conflicts that happen, because a lot of these conflicts we get into are perpetual. There's things like based on personality differences. Aaron's extroverted, you know, I'm introverted. So when she has someone or people at our house every single night, that's going to create some conflict.
Sorry.
And yet,
and she's in her happy place.
Right, exactly. In spite of my prayers, it's not like tomorrow she's going to wake up and be introverted. And so part of it is, Susie, really understanding that a lot of these things that we get into arguments around are probably things that just aren't going to change. There's not a solution. And so instead of thinking conflict resolution, we really should think about repairing conflict. There was a time here just recently, real quick, that Erin needed help moving a chair into her office. And so she was late to get to a counseling client. So I was just simply trying to put this chair and help her move it into her little office here at our home. And you'd think that'd be an easy win for our marriage. Well, it just was an awkward chair. It kept slipping, crashing into things. And finally, I got so frustrated. I'm telling Erin, you know, lift with your legs. You're not doing this right. Well, it just erupted into this stupid conflict to where we kind of dropped the chair. Maybe I dropped the chair.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to beat you to that. Mm-hmm. But I just walked out kind of feeling like, hey, I was here to help you, you know, being, you know, a servant, and here you're barking at me. So I'm leaving. I'm out of here. And I was so prideful, thinking, I can't believe she did that. And she needs to apologize to me. And so she gets to her counseling office and texts me and just, you know, mm-hmm. sorry, I was late and I shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, yep, that's true. I thought I was so innocent. And so God really convicted me, like, you know, Greg, you did drop the chair to the ground and walk out on your wife. That's kind of what we call withdrawal. But it took me a while to deal with the pride that I was the one wronged. And yet later on that night, we just got together and just to repair that, just by going, hey, tell me what that was like. Hey, Erin, when I dropped the chair and, you know, she, you know, I felt disrespected, and, you know, and she did the same thing. And so all we're saying is that instead of trying to resolve, solve, fix conflicts, why don't you just make your goal to come back together and just repair that by just going, what was that like for you? And that matters to me. And I want to care about how you felt. And you know, you both do that, and you're going to repair it.
I was going to say, you know what I love about that is that you're not postponing joy until Erin becomes an introvert, because that's not going to happen. And what, to me, that's what's so sad. I mean, truly though, it's like, because some of these, like you said, so often personality differences. So to say, I'm not asking you to be someone other than who you are, but when the conflict happens, let's heal that rift. And got just about a minute and a half, Erin. Would you want to add anything to that?
Well, I want to add to that story that chair sat in the hallway for like 4 weeks. It just sat in the hallway. And I was like, does anybody notice that there's a chair sitting in our hallway?
I just thought that was an odd place to put it. I thought that's where you wanted it.
Yeah, it's just what we have been really working on is when conflict takes off, because it will. I recently heard the statistic that 1 in 3 times conflict will go well. And so we're talking about healthy couples. 1 in 3 times it's going to go well. So that means even the healthiest of couples are going to have conflict. And so the key is, they say healthy couples, you know, that our cycle gets further apart, it's not as intense, but healthy couples repair. And so I can't stress enough, the most important thing is take a breather, take a minute, get yourself de-escalated and out of fight or flight, and then come back and say, can we talk about what just happened? And let's talk about it in a way that we're both heard and understood, because that is what brings healing. And that's the blessing that comes from conflict. Hmm.
And then when you guys get to the other side, there is such a, I mean, when you're with you two, there's such a regard for the other, such a profound love and respect. You guys are hilarious and funny and honest about your stories, but you can tell that you've not let stuff pile up. And I really honor that.
Well, thank you. It's taken us a while to get to that understanding. And that's why we just encourage you, really get great it repairing the inevitable conflicts and not try to get rid of them and go, how do we just not fight? Just to go, yeah, it's going to happen. Let's just get great at repairing. And Aaron and I will go to each other and just say, hey, I think we need a little, I need a repair. And we'll say that, we'll text that to each other.
Love
and
that.
It just helps us out.
Wow. So get ready to wrap. You know, there's a missionary that they pray before they go into certain places in other parts of the world. And they, when they finally go in, they look for the person of peace. And I'm wondering if with those extended relationships this holiday season, maybe ask God to show you who's my person of peace, because somebody has an open heart to maybe repair if something needs to be repaired. Not everybody does, but somebody might. And Smalley's, would you please come back when it works for you? We'd love to have you back.
Absolutely.
We would love it, Susie.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for tuning in. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We sure love and appreciate you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.